Please rise. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands, gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King. And when he comes again, may we go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts, and follow him in the way that leads to everlasting life, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest sin in me of my sin.
O
Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, the poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But you, O Lord, do not be far off.
O you, my help, come quickly to my aid.
Save me from the mouth of the lion.
You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning?
All who see me mock me.
They make mouths at me, they wag their heads.
He trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him.
Let him rescue him, for he delights in him.
Be not far from me, for trouble is near.
And there is none to help.
But you, O Lord, do not be far off.
O you, my help, come quickly to my aid.
Save me from the mouth of the lion.
You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen.
Glory be to the Father.
To take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may mercifully follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Sunday of the Passion is from the 9th chapter of Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. Lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and far from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. You hold me by my right hand.
You will guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will receive me to glory.
Truly God is good to Israel,
to those who are pure in heart.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Philippi, the second chapter. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death, the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the tract. My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning?
In you our fathers trusted.
They trusted and you delivered them.
To you they cried and were rescued.
In you they trusted and were not put to shame.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th and 27th chapters. This is a long reading. If you need to sit, sit. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. When his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not always have. For in the pouring of this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, why, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. And on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And Jesus said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, Have you come out against me as a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you have answered nothing? What is this man testifies against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with palms of their hands and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you?" Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Peter remembered the words of Jesus, what he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because they are the price of blood." And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was pierced, whom they of the children of Israel pierced, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word. So the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, Whom do you want me to release to you? Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, Have nothing to do with it, that just man. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to him, Which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said to him, Let him be crucified. Then the governor said, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, His blood be upon us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them. When they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on, and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is the place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. When he tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them. And for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, This man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, and rocks were split. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened. They feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. And many women who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were looking on from afar. Among them were Mary Magdalene, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. And Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in the new tomb that he had hewn out of the rock. He rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' so that the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you. grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our living God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The gospel lesson which was read to you is longer than the sermon. Maybe so. Jesus said, to answer your questions about all of this, a few chapters earlier, he summarizes everything you heard today so far. This is the will of my Father who sent me. All that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. I think if you were to try to take the gospel lesson to date as it is, you'd have about 25 different sermons to preach. There's that much there. But here we are, Palm Sunday. What has that got to do with anything? Well, this. Your Father has drawn you. He's drawn you to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's good news. Because Jesus says that once the Father has drawn you to Jesus, Jesus is not going to drive you away. Away. Instead, he's going to raise you up on the last day. Now that good news gives you and me everything I need and you need to learn about faith and love. The only two things to hear about from the Word, two things to walk with inside of all your life, two things: faith and love. Jesus is always the key. In fact, St. Paul tells you that you are to be kind and you are to be forgiving and loving as God in Christ forgave you, and you are to be an imitator of God and walk as Jesus walked, even as he rode on Palm Sunday. And when you hear from the Word the way that Jesus loves you and the way Jesus gives himself for you, then you will know what it means to put on faith, put your faith in him. And then you will yourself know what it means to love. Apart from that, you know not and you cannot. So, how then does Jesus love us and give himself for us? How does Jesus love you? Now, the answer is surprising if you let Jesus speak his own words instead of putting words in his mouth. He loves you not because of something inside of himself. Jesus loves you not by looking down deep into his heart and finding something that's magically qualifying you and him to be all worked up enough in blindness to overcome your sins and to love you. He loved you not by finding in himself something that's kind or perversive or permissive so that he would actually go through the suffering and death on the cross because he found something in himself for you. Why would he ride on a donkey with palm branches? I know. The palm branches so that Lutherans today could trim the palm branches and take the leaves and then burn them and then smear them on their foreheads on Ash Wednesday next year. No. Instead, the Bible tells you that Jesus loved you and gave himself for you as an offering and as a sacrifice and a sweet-smelling aroma because the Father told him to. That's why he got on a donkey. Jesus gave his flesh and his life for the world. the way I take out the garbage. I mean, if I remember, or I'm wakened by the garbage trucks next door and I quickly run it out to the street. Not necessarily because I want to. I'm supposed to. My job. Jesus loved you because his father, his daddy told him to. That was the will of his father, who's now your father, that he would be killed, as you heard in the gospel, that you and I would live, because he would be killed after his riding on a donkey on Palm Sunday, and then he would be raised up on the last day. So you say, oh, come now, really? You don't mean that, do you, Pastor, that Jesus loved us, or that Jesus loves us because he's under orders? Because his father told him to? He said, do it? Really? That makes Jesus sound like somebody who's really reluctant, a really reluctant Savior who, not that sweet Jesus, the one that I've heard about my whole life from Sunday school up to the grave. The best thing your pastor can do for your life so that you will put faith outside of you, put faith in Jesus so that you will walk in love, the best thing that I could ever do for you is to teach you that you don't imitate Jesus by digging deep down into yourself to find some power to believe in God and to put up with all those people sitting next to you in church because Jesus said you had to do that. Now, Jesus did not look or take a step down. Instead, Jesus listened to his daddy. So he got on a donkey. You listen to him. All that the Father gives me, Jesus says, will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Sounds good, right? What's next? The one who comes to me, Jesus says, I will in no way cast out. Because he says, I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me, to get on a donkey, to ride into the city, and to be crucified and buried. That's the will of my Father, the will of the one who sent me. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here for you. And so, here again, Jesus says, I will in no way cast you out because I have not come to do my own will. And then this Holy Week, there's nothing Jesus is doing because he just wants to do it. Because his Father told him to. Now, Jesus is your will too. Isn't it? Jesus, your will to hold on to me? Jesus, sweet Jesus, you kind of speak strangely at times, don't you? You will not cast me out because you've not come on your own will, but someone else's will? That sounds like you might have a reason to get rid of me, to put me and drive me away. Your words make it sound as if things were up to you, Jesus. You might well drive me away. Jesus, don't say that. But hallelujah, praise God. He is the restless Jesus, isn't he? There is no one who rescues you like Jesus. No one does it right the way he does it. Now, these words are a solid and immovable place for you to put your faith. Because these words are traced to the footprints that you are to walk in and do the work of love that Jesus has shown you what to do. So, what would Jesus do to drive you away? What reason would he give you to cast you out? Is there something left up to him instead of the Father? No. Are you different from the rest of the world? Are you different from Judas, who betrayed him? Are you different from Peter, who denied him? Are you different from the crowds who were bored easily at his words and his teachings? And the self-assured, holy-looking Pharisees and all those legalists? Are you different from everyone else who's ever lived on the face of this planet except Jesus? Does Jesus have no reason to cast you out? Is the Bible wrong only about you? Do you see what Jesus does here for you today as you hear this long gospel reading? He puts it very clear in terms. Left to his own will, to judge by the evidence of the things that you have done and seems until going to do until the last day, the last breath, until you die, that is. Every reason he has to throw you away, he's not going to do that. That's not why he came, to throw you away. It's not why he got on a donkey to run away. That's not why the Father sent him. So instead, he's going to give his flesh for the life of the whole world, that includes you. He will take his word and its way, and it will find its way into your life for you and for me. And he will wash your sins away in the water of holy baptism. And then he will give you his flesh and his blood to eat to save you from your lifelong sins. Even today, this holy altar, waiting for you to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of your sins. And then what's he going to do? He's going to raise you up on the last day if you die before he comes. Why? Because you're worth all of that? No. Very simple. He gives himself up to you, and he's going to raise you up on the last day. Why? His daddy told him to. That's it. That can't break. And that good news will never end. Your faith and my faith goes up and down. Do you believe the right way, strongly enough, firmly enough? Of course not. That's why you don't believe in the strength of your own believing. Jesus tells you today what? Believe in me. The Father has drawn you to me, where I am found. I am found in my word. I am found in the holy sacraments. Not just on Sunday mornings, folks, but every moment of your life. And now, since the Father has drawn you to me, Jesus says, you're in me. You're in with me and my daddy. And that life will never end. And this is sure, absolutely for sure, despite your sins, that you will do even today, until that last day when you die, and then Jesus will raise you up on that last day. And I will raise you up, he says, on that last day. Why? For the same reason he got on a donkey. His daddy told him to. That's faith. And then comes love. And with the confidence of someone whom Jesus is going to raise on the last day, that day because Jesus was told by his Father to do it, St. Paul bids you to love as Jesus loved, to walk in the way that Jesus walked. And how's that? Not by looking at the evidence that others supply, not by trying to find some motivation to spend your time or your money on other people who are just not really worth it, because we know that's the truth. Instead, love as Jesus did. Give yourself for your spouse. Give yourself for your children. Give yourself for your church. Give yourself for this family here today and for your enemies, because your Father tells you to. Your Daddy in heaven tells you to. That's why. Even if it means getting on a donkey. Jesus came down from heaven to give himself for you, because the Father sent him here to do it. Final answer. You've been put here on earth to give yourself for others, because the Father put you here to do that. And what a relief. We never need, our whole life long, we never need to find a reason to love our neighbor, regardless of where they live, here in this great country, or next door to this country, or in Asia, Africa, Europe, North and South America, everywhere. And so, my dear brothers and sisters in Jesus, that's faith. And then comes love. You and I are both filled with sinful desires and habits. We provoke Jesus every day to do what? Throw us away like the garbage. We're filled with evil desires, bad habits. But Jesus is not going to cast you away. He says, I will not drive you away, no way. Not because there's any hope of you becoming better, something you are not now, better. No, I will not drive you away, because the Father in heaven won't hear it. And when we learn that good news, we will know all about loving others around us. We give to them, give ourselves for them, not because the folks of us are so magically going to change all their lives and their bad habits in some way, someday, no. They're not probably ever going to do that. But give yourself to those around you, because it's the reason the Father put you here in the first place. Yes, you and I know the people around you often leave a lot to be desired. And you know what? You're around them and you leave a lot to be desired too. You know, he sins, she sins, we all sin. I sin. But the Father sent Jesus, and he gave his flesh for you. And now you, we, will live. And sometimes in our lives we're going to learn to ride a donkey as Jesus walked and rode, because that is the Father's will. But very often we will fail to do the loving way that Jesus has loved us. We will fail until the day we drop dead. But no worries. Your Father has drawn you to himself. He's drawn you to Jesus. And Jesus, hear this, Jesus will never drive you away. No way. And then he's going to do what when you're dead and he comes back? He's going to raise you up on the last day. That's worth an amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now the God of peace make you perfect in every way. May he keep your mind, your body, your life sound and without the fall. Until our God Jesus Christ comes again, you can depend on him who calls you. He will do it. The grace of our God and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you have given us the peace that passes understanding in Christ our Lord. Manifest his peace among the nations to bring an end to war and violence. Unite your church in peace and harmony, and give your calm to the troubled hearts of your people, that they may serve you in peace and quietness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have revealed the saving gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. Guard your church against all her enemies. Empower her in the proclamation of the saving gospel and the works of mercy that make known your love to those still in darkness in the shadow of death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, sustain all fathers, mothers, and children, husbands and wives, friends and neighbors, laborers and employers, and teachers and students. Enable us to serve our neighbors in godly vocations, delighting in the Lord's kindness. Watch over, guard, and keep our servicemen and women in your protective care, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Rebecca, Donovan, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, our King, your Son entered Jerusalem as the true ruler, ready to lay down his life for his people. Grant the same kind of mind to those in authority over us, that they would discharge their duties even for the least among us, and so receive your condemnation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, draw near to those in trial and peril. Forsake not the brokenhearted, nor those in any kind of need. Hear the humble cries, come quickly to their aid, and rescue those in delight in you, especially Griffin, Barb, Mike, Robin, Carol, Arlen, Jamie, Steve, Kathy, Jerry, Ruth, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Alicia, Robin, Deb, Mary, Shirley, Billy, and the Leslie family. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Matthew, Leora, Dan, and Taya, continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, you reveal your righteousness in the suffering and kind kingly death of your Son, Jesus. By this sacrament, increase our faith. Fill us with your righteousness and lead us to proclaim his death until he comes. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, as once your Son was welcomed with palms and hosannas, so open the hearts of all who hear your word, that by your Holy Spirit they may believe in Jesus Christ and come to him. Restore the fallen and bring back to the faith those who have rejected the gospel for the prison of error and idolatry. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son not in wrath but in mercy. As we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
And with our spirits.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right.
Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we long to magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Jesus, body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take it, please. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. And the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, give back to you in grace.
Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. The Lord bless and keep you in his baptism and grace and his promises.
Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
the meat. This is the true body of Christ. Given to death for your sinner. Take, eat. This is the true blood.
Thank you.
Christ. Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee. Lord, make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen. Amen.
Wednesday, let's see, Tuesday Bible study, Wednesday confirmation, Thursday church at Zion at 7, Friday church here at Emmanuel at 7, and then the third day, he rested in the tomb 3 days. Saturday, we have the Easter Vigil at Zion at 7:30 p.m. So the military people, 19:30. And then Sunday morning, 6:30 at Emmanuel, 9 o'clock at Zion. Now, we're not going to dismiss you, because he's going to present right now. Because I figured what would happen, you go downstairs and you'd eat, and you'd be done. But so this way you have to sit and listen. Oh, he's the bishop of the world.
This is true.
Once I change all my other stuff.
Again, now you can ask me questions as I go along. If you don't have any, that's fine too. But it won't take your whole day. Just a few words explaining to you again. It's been a few years since I've been here, but on the Confessional Lutheran Education Foundation, what it is that we do and where we do it. Now, I like on the other day. Stuff to hand out. I'm not going to read it all to you. But, can you hand out stuff? Can I hand out stuff? It's a big enough. This is the, what you're receiving now is the project list for 23 to 24. And the reason for that is because I didn't go over to the office this morning in Spring Lake Park and pick up the 25, 26. But very little has changed, so you should be happy with this. If you want more, you can go to the website, as are listed for you at the tclaf.org. And find other stuff that's updated on a more regular basis. But we continue to do work in, you know how many continents there are? How many continents?
Seven.
Very good. You remember that from kindergarten, right?
Okay, number of completeness. It's the number of completeness, seven is.
Yeah, so we have seven continents. Now you'll notice on this project list, it hasn't changed. We do Asia, you know that is, and then we do Africa, and then we do Europe, and then we do North America, and then on the back side we do South America. What's missing?
Antarctica.
Antarctica. Why won't I go to Antarctica? I've been to all these other places. I've been kidnapped 7 times, held for hostage 5 times. They didn't get much. I think the most I got once was $5. That's all we could find in the taxi we were in, because we don't travel with money. So but we spent about 4 or 5 hours waiting for them to figure out we only had $5. But why don't I go to Antarctica?
Too much water.
No, not too cold. Come on, we live in Minnesota. Not too cold. It was 47 below in my house not a week ago. Not in the house, but at the house. Why? Not too cold. It's not too cold. 2 reasons. See if you're awake. 1, almost everybody down there is a mad scientist who don't believe in the existence of a God. And 2, the rest of them are all dressed up like Catholic nuns. Penguins.
Penguins.
That's why I have not been there. But this gives you an idea. And our primary responsibilities are to provide theological education to these various Lutheran church bodies. Some have started to exist since we've been around some 35 years. Some of these church bodies have just come into existence, and we continue to supply them with not only materials, but we also supply them with pastors and with professors academically qualified to teach. And most of them have to have at least another foreign language or somebody who can speak English to translate for them. Somebody who's really good at English and theology if they're going to translate into another language. So we have continued to do the traveling. Somebody asked me if I've been out lately. I looked like many of you men before COVID. And then that's because I was forced to wear a mask. And after I took the mask off 3 years later, this is what grew there. The reason we were cut back during COVID is because if I were to go to, give you an example, if I'm going to go to Accra, Ghana, where we have a lot of stuff going on in Accra, Ghana, I go and get on a Delta Airlines in Minneapolis, and they were thankfully good enough in the last half dozen years to have flights directly out of Minneapolis to New York. Instead of having to go halfway around the world the other way, fly to New York. And when I get to New York, I get off the airplane. Where are you going? You're going to Africa? Oh, well, you need to go over to this hotel. We need to quarantine you for a week or two. I left Minnesota. Yes, we know, but we have to make sure. So I go spend 2 weeks in a hotel in New York. Cheap. Ha. Then I get on the airplane, and adding to my 3.5 million miles with Delta, I get to go to Newen, Amsterdam. Wow. Get off. Oh, Americans, money. Okay. You just came from the United States? Yes. You're going where? Africa? Okay. Well, we need you to 2 weeks in this hotel. Quarantine. Now I'm at 4 weeks. That's a month. I'm just across the ocean. Oh, then I get to go to Accra, Ghana. Uh-oh, guess what? An American with money, you have to spend 2 weeks in this hotel, and this is how much, or get back on the plane and go home. So another 2 weeks in quarantine. I've done nothing for 6 weeks, except sit on airplanes and in hotel rooms. And you can't run around the hotel. You're quarantined. Okay, then I get to spend 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or a month there, and then what happens? The same thing on the way home. You've been where in Ghana? Oh, well, before you get on this plane to go back to Europe, you have to get 2 weeks of quarantine. You get to Amsterdam, 2 weeks. You get to New York, 2 weeks. Get to Minneapolis. I'm going to run through all the security. I don't care. Put me in jail for 2 weeks. So our travels overseas have been cut back severely, especially to Africa. But we've knocked ourselves out in South America with Spanish work, and also in Brazil with the other stuff that Brazilians speak, French and stuff like that. So
Portuguese,
yeah. I always thought that was something you drank, port. So this is it, and you can go online since you saw me last, I gave up the position of president and chairman of the board, and I gave that to Reverend Dr. Paul Strawn, who's pastor at Spring Lake Park, so at least he's close enough I can see what he's doing. And so I'm not just the director of mission advancement. He does all the paperwork and everything, and I just go do the stuff. But he does a lot of the stuff, and if you go downstairs before you leave town or the building and go home, there are some samples of the materials that we've been producing. We have in Spanish, we do lots of work, and you can see some of that down there. We do most of our Spanish translation through Argentina and Dr. Jose Pfaffenzeller, who, by the way, got his doctorate degrees. I went to seminary with him. I didn't know I was doing my doctorate, and he was doing his, and we didn't know it. And then we find out now we're doing work in Argentina together with Spanish work. So, speaking of Spanish work, a little aside, is this, am I taking too long yet? I'm doing fast, I'm talking as fast as I can, but, okay, when, how old are you?
12.
Ooh, you're old. anybody here 6 years old? 6.5? Well, okay, I was adopted when I was 5 days old from a pastor's by a pastor and his wife in Cincinnati, Ohio. So they dragged me down to Cincinnati. And we had an inner city congregation where I had to learn, you know, how to talk inner city in Cincinnati and back in the 60s and 50s. And then when I was 6 and a half, they decided that mission work in Cincinnati wasn't quite really what he wanted to do. So he took a call to Papua New Guinea. And we're way up in the mountains at 6 and a half years old. And nobody spoke English there. And so my brother and I, we both learned the tribal language was Enga, Yaharanenpi, and then also Neo-Melanesian, which is a trade language for the island, and then we also spoke English. So by the time I was, you know, 8, 9 years old, I was speaking 3 languages. But then the missionary teacher from the Missouri Synod decided that he was coming back, Don Gerber and his wife Flo, and they sent somebody over there from the United States to take back the, or to continue teaching at Highland Lutheran School. And his name is David Lorenz. What language? He said, everybody in this school has to learn a second language. I speak 3. What do I need another language for? Everybody in the class spoke at least 2. So we had to learn another language. David Lorenz, what language do you think he sought to teach us? Lorenz. Hispanic. So we were all to take Spanish. He and his wife were going to teach us Spanish. The only other person besides his wife that spoke Spanish was about 1,000 miles away. So that by the time I was forced to learn Spanish. So anyway, now I can talk some Spanish or listen and understand Jose that is now my good friend from South America. So there's lots of good stories. I know that the food is ready downstairs in a few minutes. Now, yo, again. This is called the, you might have heard of this. Pass them out, one each. This is called the International Lutheran E-Reader Project. You know what an e-reader is? It's kind of like a laptop. Kind of like a, some of you have, you can read things on your phone and that kind of stuff. But an e-reader, these are actually Kindle type things. And so we have been providing the students at all of these seminaries that we teach at in some high schools and colleges where we are teaching as Confessional Lutheran Education Foundation with the church bodies. We provide the students, especially the student pastors, with a Kindle so that they have something that is more than just a telephone to try to do all their work on or to study on. And so we do that with that. And then also, up until a very short while ago, Amazon actually supported us by providing us electronic services so we could actually send the entire book over the internet to somebody's Kindle along with all the professor's notes and outlines. So if you know anybody at Amazon, say, get back and start helping Johnny again, because we could use that for the international. Where'd you two go? You don't have to sit down yet. You're not done. Okay, I have a few of these. So when they're gone, they're gone. Like one to a couple. We also have on the internet, we have a project every day. It's a new devotion. It's about 3 minutes long at the most. And oftentimes I will use that, not here because I knew it was coming, but we use that as a Bible class starter. And the pastor can use that on Sunday mornings as well to put up on the screen so everybody can see either Dr. Holt or Sontag or Paul Strawn do in English a translation for you of the and presentation on Lutheran doctrine. And then, don't sit down. Here's one for each of you too, so that you, if you are moved to support the work of CLEF, there's an easy way to do that. And then some of you have also heard of conference in Minnesota, a national conference, which we've started some 25 years ago. It's called the Congress on the Lutheran Confessions. It started off, I started an organization, Minnesota North Confessional Lutherans, Minnesota South Confessional Lutherans, and we realized, well, let's just do one for Confessional Lutheran worldwide, or and especially in the United States. So that's also being, I think there, somebody else grab these for you? Did you hand out some of these? Did you hand out some of these over here? No. Here, you can have. I'll take those. And you can pass out some of those.
Thank you.
There's a card. That hiding in my bag was some of these in case somebody wants one. Okay. I thought I'd brought enough so we don't make those mistakes. So the conference has been in Bloomington. It's not that far, right by the airport. So if you fly down there, you don't have far to go. Get a free shuttle. But we've been doing that there. I was doing it in Chicago, which you might say, oh, that sounds nice. No, it's stupid for me to run a conference in Chicago when there's a hotel in Bloomington. So we moved it to the Minneapolis area many years ago. And it's good. It's just not, you won't come and hear Latin. You're not going to come hear Greek and Hebrew or German, English. The papers are all delivered so that we lay folk can understand those languages that we don't speak, English. So that we, excuse me, I'm not sick. But that's what we do. And your support makes it happen to provide these pastors with theological education, which they aren't going to get anywhere else. They just don't get the quality and the extended amount of education that we provide. And it's not that I'm proud of that, but it's true. And it's only something that you want to support. You don't want to support something that's secondary or even tertiary. You want to support the best. And we don't, without any shame, we claim to be the best, this type of organization on earth. And I will list some others even in my own church body and yours. That one I started on the original board of directors, now we're in competition, but we still win because we provide the better professors and such. And then when I go to the Philippians, you know, that was named after Philip, some prince or something like that, not the Bible, but if I go to the Philippines, they're so thankful that we come there and we provide them with that every time I go, I feel like I shouldn't really go anymore because they insist that I need something else to wear. And apparently they don't like my clothing. They wouldn't like that, what you're wearing. So they take me off to a tailor, and they fit me for a new shirt. And not just a shirt like you're wearing, but one of these. I have no idea what this means. And I'm not sure they understand it either.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah, would you?
No, you don't
want to know. So some of you have asked, well, that's very nice. This is a gift to me from the Philippines because of the work that you support and that we do together. In even a sophisticated and intelligent country like America, even the Philippines. And again, I learned something which is absolutely true. You probably didn't want to come here to learn this, but if you are a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod missionary, and you're starting in a new area of the world, or a new country, where do you go? What part of that country do you go to? You might say, I'll start on the ocean coast. I might start on the coast where the people are. No, you don't. We don't do that. You know why? We don't like heat and humidity. We just can't stand it. So where do we go? We go to the mountains. In New Guinea, where's the largest Lutheran church body? In the mountains. Started by who? Missouri Synod pastors and teachers. The same thing in the Philippines. Where is this at? In the mountains. The same place where During World War II, if you were a wounded soldier in the South Pacific, that's where they would send you, to the Philippines, to Mindanao, up in the mountains at the hospital, because it's easier to recover when it's cool than when it's hot and sweaty. So anyway, if you want to go places, go to Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod supported church bodies if you want to be cool and not sweat to death. Anywhere in the world, even in Argentina. And so, anybody have any thoughts or questions? I have a wife and 17 children, a home in the kitchen in starving condition. I'm not, that's a lie. But, yes, sir.
How are you doing with the places that are under siege, war, Ukraine, things like that?
It's the work there is very difficult. We don't have any staff there or anybody from CLDF in those places. First of all, they have been evacuated. Everybody that has two legs and a brain.
So are you still providing materials to people?
Who provide materials with anybody, anywhere. In English or if it's a local language, yes. Sometimes local languages, the language, the Enga that I learned to speak was the largest language in New Guinea, up in the mountains. Fourth largest island in the world, and so that's where Missouri first went, up in the mountains, and the largest language group. Over 200,000 people spoke that language. And, some tribes in some of these countries, you might find 2,000 or 3,000 people that speak it. And so your money is, it's hard to say this, but you want to spend missionary money for 200,000 people to teach them the gospel, or because you have to learn their language and they have to learn yours, and then you finally get to 2,000 people. We can teach them the other language sooner than, so that's what we do. We teach the smaller tribes English or Spanish or some other language that they can then use. So, anyone else have a question? I would, a church I was at a short while ago, I suggested that, and I would have said it here, but at the beginning of the sermon that I didn't, because I was suggesting that if you have these palm branches, you know, and what usually happens with them in a church? The young people are smart. They take them and they go like this, and they wave them around, and then they hit each other with them. And so I've suggested that if your congregation has those long palm branches or, you know, thongs that they have, when the pastor walks down the aisle at the beginning of the service, everybody just throws them out and say, you know, walk on palm branches. Thankfully, you didn't do that. Just had the nice little crosses for us. So anybody have any questions? Somebody has to have some question.
What is the work like in Indonesia? I think that is the only majority Muslim country I saw on the list, if I'm remembering correctly.
Jakarta is difficult, but Indonesia, okay. The reason I learned extra languages in New Guinea is because when the Dutch owned, as the Dutch had the territory of Papua New Guinea, they were on the west side, they called it West Irian. But then the Indonesians apparently decided that they needed more land. And so my first military training was in grade school when the Indonesians were coming in to kill everybody. And here's how the Indonesians overtook the western half of the island. They would come in with a helicopter. And all these people who have never seen anything like that on earth come to the middle of the village to look up at it. They would open up the doors, kill them. That's how I got to Indonesia. But we still go back there, and I can check that for you. Give me address or something. Just send me a text, and I'll give you the details on Indonesia. That'd be more...
I think it must be a challenging environment.
Yes, yeah. Any Islamic country is not happy with anything we do. Even in America. Don't go to an Islamic...
Don't go to Dearborn, Michigan?
Yeah.
Minneapolis.
Yeah. Very dangerous sometimes. I've never been kidnapped or held hostage in Minneapolis, but... And
so you haven't been forced to eat lutefisk then at gunpoint?
Yes. Okay. I was a pastor at Triune God in Brooklyn Center for 25 years with a bunch of Norwegians and Scandinavians, yes. I did my penance. I did my purgatory already. Anyone else have a question? Thank you for letting me show up, and thank you for seeing me again. And you'll be in our prayers. Please remember us in your prayers. Even if it's just something, yeah, Jesus, I don't remember his name, but that guy was there with that silly shirt. Watch out for him. Thank you. I know that was because I kept it short.
There's food downstairs, and so before we eat, let's pray the common table prayer and return thanks. Come, Lord
Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts of us be blessed. Amen. We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen.
Before we leave, we're going to pass out the basket.